As I thought of this topic, it's somewhat daunting. It's a complex subject, and I am no expert. I'm no counselor when it comes to anger, but over the years interacting with people, I know that it's an important subject and one to deal with. And thankfully, the Word of God gives us a foothold, a foundation, a cornerstone in terms of how we deal with anger. And Proverbs addresses it from a number of fronts. And we want to look at those thoughts tonight. And we'll start with Proverbs and end up in Ephesians. Proverbs would give us a sense: wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming. Anger and wrath in our lives are destructive and harmful. And think of a time maybe when you've been angry, and how productive was it? How damaging was it? It was likely more damaging. It was likely more hurtful, embarrassing. Shame comes of it. Guilt. There's loss of reputation, loss of Christian witness. Sadly, when it comes to family, often anger's a very damaging hurt. It hurts our kids. It hurts our spouses. It hurts our friends. And eventually it works through our heart and mind and leads us into depression. But thankfully, the Word of God gives us some help, and I want to work through that tonight. Thankful we've had this study in Proverbs through the month of June. Then we've looked at the importance of wisdom as seen in Proverbs. Last week, Phil addressed the subject of pride, and you might remember that Phil indicated that as we struggle with pride in our life, it often leads to fits of anger, and we have anger to look at tonight, and thankful we wrap up our study in Proverbs with self-control next week. So Dave Ballard will lead us in a study of self-control and hopefully how we address our anger through self-control, as Proverbs teaches us. And then I'm looking forward to our next study in James, and a key verse in the first chapter James will get to is James 1:19. Everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The subject of anger is addressed through the Bible, and we want to look at some of those key sections tonight. As I thought through the verses that we'll discuss, I hope you'll allow me a bit of artistic impression. I thought of in the spectrum of anger that we see from a young child having a tantrum. You don't have to teach a child anger. It's an emotion that God plants in us, and God has designed us that way for purpose, for his righteousness. But a child through selfishness, through just a sense of want, quickly has temper tantrums. On the opposite end of the spectrum is a holy God. And I hope you don't mind the cartoon I chose. There's very few that illustrate an angry God. But we, as we understand God, we know that God is sovereign, God is just, God is righteous, God does not sin. And God is an angry God at times, and his anger is a holy anger. Usually our anger is not a holy anger. It's a sinful anger, but we are to learn to use our righteousness for God, our anger in a controlled way, as God would control his anger. There's another axis that we could think about in terms of our anger. Is our anger short-term or is it long-term? Some of us have anger and it goes away very quickly. We learn to control it. Sadly, many hold on to their anger for days, for months, for years, and it eats away at them, and it's not controlled. As I was thinking of this study and thinking of times when I've been angry, I would ask myself, am I acting like a child or am I acting like a righteous God? And all too often, my anger would skew towards the angry child pole. God is an angry God. The subject of anger or thoughts of anger revealed in the Bible. There's about 500 references to anger or wrath, and most of those refer to God's anger and wrath about sin. And we would recognize that God hates sin and is angry about sin. One key verse that touched me was Psalm 7:11. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. A quote that I came across and liked was from a preacher named Henry W. Beecher years ago. He wrote about anger, and he said this: "There is an anger that is damnable. It is the anger of selfishness. There is an anger that is as majestic as the frown of Jehovah's brow. It is the anger of truth and love. If a man meets with injustice, it's not required that he shall not be roused to meet it. But if he is angry after he has had time to think upon it, that is sinful. The flame is not wrong, but the coals are." Well, that's a long quote. It's old English, perhaps. Allow me to maybe paraphrase what Henry Beecher wrote. There is an anger that is sin. It is the anger of selfishness and pride. And then there is an anger that is as majestic as the frown of Jehovah's brow. That's an awesome line. There are times when Jehovah's brow is furrowed and it's majestic and it's holy and it's just. It's the anger of truth and love. If a man meets with injustice, it's not required that he not be angry. But if he's angry, if he's time to think about it, that is sinful. Good thought, and I just enjoyed that thought of the majestic frown of Jehovah's brow. God is an angry God. Last week, Phil referenced a message by Jonathan Edwards, and it was wrapped around the seven indications of pride, or seven checks for pride. I want to remind you maybe of another Jonathan Edwards sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That's an awesome sermon to read, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It would make us think how we share the gospel with others. We need to be frank and upfront with sinners about the consequences of their sin. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God is a sermon that you can find online very easily, and I highly recommend it. We can't trivialize our anger issues. It's a very complex subject, and the Bible gives us a foothold. It gives us a cornerstone, but I do want to stress that there are times when you might need professional counsel as you deal with anger. If you know of someone who's struggling with anger, there is professional counsel that could be required. Uncontrolled, unchecked, unresolved anger leads to dangerous situations. Let's look at the verses from Proverbs that were assigned. I hope maybe you did some reading ahead. These three verses first came to mind as part of our reading. Proverbs 14:29, Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Using the English Standard Version as the translation. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook an offense. Three key verses here. Proverbs 14:29 being the first verse in Proverbs to address anger. There's about 15 references in Proverbs to anger, and Solomon writing in chapter 14 came to the point where he wanted to address anger, and he would say, whoever is slow to anger, Proverbs 16, whoever is slow to anger, good sense makes one slow to anger. So right off the bat, I'd like to point out the emphasis on being slow to anger, not having a hasty temper tantrum type of anger. We're to be slow, we're to be controlled. And there's a sense here that it's not a sin to be slow to anger. There are times when anger is legitimate. It's legitimate as we control our anger and we're slow to anger. Three key verses that speak of being slow to anger, and it's a glory to overlook an offense. More verses on anger from Proverbs. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. I'm thankful for some of my friends that didn't know about this verse when I was young and foolish. Thankful to have good friends. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? This is a verse that speaks to the damage consequences of wrath and anger in our lives. It leads us to grief and trouble. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. And then the final verse in Proverbs dealing with anger is sort of a favorite one for me. For pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. Almost a little comical. Pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, pressing anger produces strife. There's an important point here, as we'll deal with later. Pressing anger produces strife. As I think of this term, pressing anger, it touches on repressing anger, it touches on suppressing anger, letting it build up, not releasing anger. If we hold our anger in, if we suppress it, repress it, hold it in, and not release it, it produces strife. So we're called to deal with our anger, to release our anger quickly. So those are the key verses from Proverbs that I wanted to touch on, sort of refresh your memory of what Proverbs says about anger. Again, some of the emphasis from the early verses was we're called to be slow to anger, to have a controlled anger when it's warranted. As we would understand how anger can manifest in our lives, we need to learn ways to deal with anger. And I don't want to spend too much time on these I understand our audience. I know that some of you have thought through many of these points over the years. But the Bible gives us some key verses in terms of how to address anger in our lives. And my thought was we need to take these verses to heart. We need to memorize them, to have them in front of us as we go through the day and as we go through stresses of life. Key Bible verses that we center on. The emphasis in Proverbs was be slow to anger. I developed a personal rule for my life over the years, and deal with the situation, but don't retaliate or respond for 24 hours, particularly in our culture around email. It was easy to get upset about the tone that the implied connotations of an email and whip off a hasty retort and just cause more problems. So I developed in my life a attitude of waiting 24 hours for replying. As I worked with the teams at work, it was something that we worked on instead of venting and typing out angry memos. We would hold our thoughts for 24 hours and think through. Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, he echoed some of these thoughts. He said, "When I'm angry, I count to 10. When I'm really angry, I count to 100. If it worked for the president of the United States, it would work for us as well. We're to be slow to anger, wait to even 24 hours and see if it's still important to us. There are friends we need to talk to, peers and mentors, to be open and honest. Have someone hold you accountable for your anger. There's courses that you can take in professional counsel on anger, and I would definitely encourage that as you recognize others, perhaps in your circle of family, that have anger issues. It's wise to suggest professional counsel. We'll come across Ephesians at the end. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That it's a tenet, a premise that we need to hold before us all the time. Release our anger quickly. Don't hold it. Don't learn to release your anger before the day's out. And there's probably other techniques that we could discuss. We won't make it interactive tonight, but perhaps you would share it with me. Techniques you have after our meeting tonight, share ideas you have about how you've learned to manage anger over the years. And finally, Romans 12, 17 to 21 gives us clear insight. Paul's giving instruction to the Romans about how to live their lives. And he would say in verse 16, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Do not take revenge. Leave vengeance to the Lord, for vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So as we would apply Romans 12, we would try and live at peace with all men and leave revenge and the consequences of our hurt to the Lord. Learn to trust the Lord. Learn to lean on the Lord as you work through hurts and anger in your life. The Lord will lift us up. Leave revenge to the Lord. I do want to spend a good part of our time tonight thinking about a passage from Ephesians 4, 26 to 31. So let's read that together and think it through around the thought, when is it okay to be angry? Ephesians 4, 26. And again, Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and he's writing to them in the context of don't live like the Gentiles, don't live in the futility of their dark ways. Live as to the Lord and live in the light. And it would come to verse 26 of Ephesians 4, and he would say, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And then dropping down to Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Powerful words, important words, as we think about our reaction to situations where we can get angry. Is anger always a sin? Is it okay to be angry at times? I believe this passage would say yes. There are times when anger is legitimate. Anger is an emotion that God placed in our hearts and in our souls. And he calls us to righteous anger. He calls us to holy anger. And he calls us to control our anger. And in our control, we wouldn't sin. This is the sense of verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Or another version said, when angry, don't let it control you. So there are times when we can be angry about situations and not be sinning. And then the verse goes on to say, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And I think that's where the sin starts to take place, is when you hold on to anger. And it's particularly damaging in home life, in home situations, when you don't resolve your anger. And this passage is often used in marriage counsel. And it's so sad when couples can't resolve anger in their lives, and they hold on to anger for lengths of time and long time, sadly. And as we think of counsel for those thinking of marriage, this would be a verse we stress: don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it simply would be this: it's not right, it's not good, it's wrong to hold on to anger. There are situations where you're not going to resolve a particular conflict in the day, but it's wrong to hold on to the anger about the conflict. So as couples would work together, they would say, I'm not going to hold my anger. I'm going to release my anger. And we can work on this conflict over time. Had to learn it in our marriage. Sometimes we'd think, no, we have to solve this problem tonight. That's not what this verse is saying. It's saying, don't hold on to the anger. Don't let the anger build up. You can release the anger and still have the conflict that can be resolved over time and logically. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And sometimes we're more angry about the other person being angry when this verse is a personal directive. We're to release our anger and not worry about the other person. So something that I learned over time, releasing my anger before the day was out. As we think about the situations where it's not wrong to be angry, we would look to the Lord Jesus example, and there's clear indication in a couple of instances in the New Testament where the Lord was angry and he displayed that anger, and in his anger he did not sin. We think of Lord God and the many references in the Bible to his anger. And we would ask ourselves, what makes God angry? And is our anger, righteous anger, like God's anger? What makes God angry? So Psalm 7-Eleven would point us to God is angry by people's sin. Sin makes God angry. Gus, if you're there, Gus, Tom Smith is waiting to get in. So God is made angry by sin in people's lives. He's angered by hypocrisy in people's lives. He's angered by hypocrisy in general and hypocrisy in the church particularly. God is angered by injustice. If we think of the treatment of the poor, prisoners, widows, orphans, indications in the Bible of God's love for those unfortunate people and the way they're treated. God is angered by injustice in the world. And our anger should mirror God's anger. We should be angry about sin. I was struck dealing with cancer by a message by John Piper called Don't Waste Your Anger. Or sorry, Don't Waste Your Cancer was his sermon. Don't Waste Your Cancer. And in that sermon, he addresses cancer as the consequence of sin, and we should be very angry about sin we're surrounded with. And as Christians, I believe we need to reflect a holy anger about sin around us, not tolerate it, not laugh it off. We need to be sincere about our reaction to sin around us. So God has a holy anger wrapped around these concerns as revealed in his word. Likely other indications where he's angry too. We need to mirror those in our lives. As I thought of how Christians display anger, we're not called to violent protest, but I believe we're called to peaceful protest. Romans 12 would say we're to live at peace with all men, and I think of indications of peaceful protests that Christians have done over the years. Martin Luther King comes to mind with his peace walks. Christians in their March for Life campaigns, annual March for Life, legitimate voices of concern and protest wrapped around injustice and concern for society. Christians should be angry about instances where the church is persecuted around the world and support organizations that care for persecuted churches. But as I thought through this, I also reflected that I think Christians over the past year now have been more angry than usual, wrapped around stress around the pandemic, and Christians seem angrier in society. I thought of protests and the civil disobedience around churches being closed, and I'm not trying to be too political tonight, but sometimes I think the anger reflected doesn't shine a good light on Christians sometimes around the issues of churches being closed. In the States, we look to the Republicans and their reaction to Trump's loss of the election and storming Capitol Hill. And I recognize it wasn't all Christians, but at the base of maybe that protest about the election, there were a lot of Christians involved, and I do recognize that in the States some people would say they're Christians just because they were born in the States and not truly Christian. And then around Canada, I think people have been angry about at their church leaders, and we need to watch that. We need to support our church elders. We need to encourage our church elders. They are dealing with the situations. They're trying to balance perspectives, and I don't think it's legitimate. In fact, I know it's not legitimate to be angry at our church leaders and the authority in our churches. We should respect and pray for our church elders, but it seems like Christians have been angry at their churches as well and leaving church. Let's be in prayer for our church leaders. Let's be in prayer for our government. Let's be in prayer for legislation that's being proposed in the states. There's campaigns to have the Supreme Court in the states reverse Roe versus Wade, the decision on allowing abortions in the states, situations where maybe the Supreme Court will change, and Christians should be angry about legislation proposals, but in anger, be slow, be controlled, be logical, and use due process for dealing with that. We need to be wise. We need to use peaceful tactics as we deal with some of our concerns. As I wrap up tonight, the Bible gives us some good points on dealing with anger. We need to be wise about our anger. Anger is a trait that we were born with, and God intends us to control it and be wise about using logical process for solving the conflicts we face. I do want to be clear that anger is not trivial. It's complex and deep-rooted, while Ephesians 4:31 says get rid of it, and that is what we want to do. We realize that as we deal with complex, deep-rooted issues, that there are times when good counsel, professional counsel will help us get rid of it. And as the Bible gives good direction for our anger, a clear piece of that good direction is to be slow to anger, to control our anger, and to be peaceful about our righteous anger. I leave you with those thoughts tonight, and I trust that as we address this topic, we really just scratched the surface a bit. There's more that could be thought and worked on, but perhaps as we look forward to next week and think about self-control, Dave Laird will give us more good thought on self-control for our lives. I leave you with those thoughts.